is worthy. Amen. What an encouragement to hear from those songs. His love defends me. You're almost home. Why is that so important to know, church? Because life is not so easy all the time. Like Don said, he is my anchor. Amen, church. Is he your anchor? Amen. He has to be your anchor. Why is it so important that God is your anchor? Because he's the strongest anchor that has ever been, ever. Listen to me, world, the anchors will fail you more and more every day of your life. But the one who will never fail you, his name is Jesus Christ. Remember that every day of your life, church, because every day is not so easy. Many days are not so easy. You have to have your foundation in Jesus Christ. You have to have your foundation in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Listen to me, that is so important, not only for your own life so that you can be sustained by the Father of all things, but so that you might show somebody the rock that is in your life. You got to show somebody the rock that is in your life. Oh, wow, does his love defend me? Wow, is he the maker of heaven and earth? Wow, is he my Father in heaven? Wow, is he the King of kings and Lord of lords? Wow, is he God Almighty? Amen, church. Amen. Be excited, be joyful that you are in the hands of God. Be joyful and excited. Love that you've been saved by God. Be so joyful that you share it with somebody else. Amen, church. Amen. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. But you guys know how I love to start off with a psalm, so I'm going to do that. Psalm 23. Many of us know this. Listen to it closely. Maybe you want to read along in your heart, but listen to it closely. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen, church. He is the shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd. There is no one who can lead and guide you better than God can. He lacks nothing. Amen. He lacks nothing. And even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it is God who guides your path in life. Amen, church. He leads me beside quiet waters. Oh, amen, church. Oh, wow, is he so wonderful. And his rod and his staff, they comfort me. And listen to me. Verse 6 is so wonderful. Listen to it closely. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen, church. If you're a child of God, you will dwell in the house forever. Amen, church. Amen. God is perfect. He is perfect and he is wonderful. You've heard me say it many times up here, and I will continue to say it to remind you, church, that God is perfect. He is so wonderful. But listen closely, church. He does not make mistakes. Amen. He does not make mistakes. His choices are perfect. Oh, wow, is that a wonderful blessing in our life? His choices are perfect. But listen to me, church. There are people today telling God that he's made mistakes. Maybe you've been there in your life. God, I think you've made a mistake. I've been there in my life when God called me to preach. I said, Lord, I think you made a mistake. We often say that. Listen to me, there's many pastors who are struggling in their ministry. Struggling in their ministry. God, did you make a mistake? Did you make a mistake when you chose me? And listen to me, there's many people, there's youth leaders, there's worship leaders, there's the guy, there's the woman at work saying, Lord, did you make a mistake? Lord, did you make a mistake? But listen, I'll remind you again, the Lord does not make mistakes. Amen, church. Amen. Let me ask you a question, church. Is God calling you to something? Is God calling you to something in your life, but you're telling him to wait? Is God calling you to something in your life, but you're too afraid to do it? I've been there, church. Is God calling you to something that you're flat out saying no? Is God calling you to something? Listen to me. I believe He calls all of us to something. He might not call you to be a preacher or whatever you think is so great in the church. But listen to me. God calls us to the kingdom of God every day. He calls you to work, to till the ground every day. But is He calling you to something that you're flat out saying, it's just not for me, God. Lord, I can't speak well. I can't pray well. Is God calling you to something? Let me give you a little bit of context to 1 Samuel 16. Listen, I've talked about Samuel before. He's a prophet. He's a judge. He's the leader of Israel. But something happens a few chapters before all this. The people demand what every other nation has. They want a king. Up till now, the Lord is their king. The Lord is the one that guides them. But these people, they want a king so bad. And God says, let them have what they want. Let them choose a king. Let them pick a king. So they pick Saul as a king. Wow, did Saul look like a king? He was tall. He looked like Saul. He looked like he's a king. Powerful. When you saw him walking down the street, you might, that guy's a leader. He's got to be a leader. But something happens to Saul. Saul rebels against the Lord. The people pick Saul as their king. And what happens when the people pick Saul as their king? He rebels against God. God tells him to do something very specific. And he does exactly the opposite. They were not supposed to take anything. But rather that they just took all the good stuff. And they destroyed all the bad stuff. So Samuel goes to Saul and says, you are no longer going to be God's king. You're no longer going to be anointed. And God takes his spirit away from him. And God says, I'm going to find somebody after my own heart. I'm going to find the person that's going to follow me. I'm going to find someone who comes after me. Starting in verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul since I have rejected him king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be a king. Let me tell you, church, Samuel is stuck. Samuel is stuck because he's focused on his failure. It was Samuel's job to find this king. This king didn't work out. And now Samuel's in this time of mourning. Listen to me. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to do those things. But what does God say here? He says, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. Let me summarize this up by just saying this. God says, get up. Many of us are stuck in our Christian life. And God is telling us to get up. To move. To get up in our Christian life. We're stuck on the past failures. Wow, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Or maybe you've sinned. Maybe you've messed up. But now you're stuck and you just say, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to go. But God is telling you to get up and move on. Listen to me. God's will not stop because of man. Amen, church. God's will not stop because of man. And God's will not stop because of the sin of man. Listen to me, I will warn you for just a moment. You can only say no to God so many times. There will be a breaking point where God's patience will run out and he'll say, I'll choose somebody else. You don't want to be there, church. You don't want to be in the place where God says, fine, if you're not going to do it, I'll pick somebody else. But oh, wow, is the Lord patient with us? Amen, church. Is the Lord patient? He gives us time to get up and move. And I believe Paul says it best when he says it in Philippians 3:13. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Amen, church. You need to stop thinking about your past and start straining towards what God wants for your life. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Verse 2, it says, but Samuel said, how can I go if Saul hears about it? He will kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I'll show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Amen, church? Samuel's scared. Makes a lot of sense though, right? You know, at least it makes sense to me. What is Samuel about to do? He's about to anoint another king where there's already a king. That's treason. Samuel is in all reality right now committing treason by going and anointing another king. Saul really would have all authority to take Samuel out. It's realistic to think, yeah, you would be a little afraid. What does the Lord say? He tells him to take a sacrifice, but more importantly, what does it say? It says, and I will show you what to do. And I will show you what to do. Listen to me. We can come up with a lot of excuses. Phil gave a wonderful message a couple weeks ago. It's very similar. Wow, did Moses give a lot of excuses at the burning bush? We can come up with a lot of excuses in our life. But listen to me. It seems like every time I come up with an excuse, God says the same thing. I will show you what to do. You're not going to be able to do it on your own strength. The thing that God's calling you to do in your life, you won't be able to do it without God. But God, oh wow, is He so gracious. He will show us what to do. Amen, church? Amen. He will show us what to do. And listen to me, God is not telling Samuel to lie here. They actually are going to do this sacrifice. I'll show you what to do. God is going to pick a king. God doesn't make mistakes. God's going to pick a good king. We can come up with a lot of excuses in life. We can get stuck in our failures in life. Many times, Jeremy, let me ask you a question that you're shaking in your boots already. How many times we've been playing disc golf on hole 6, you pick up that disc and you throw it and it goes right in the creek? How many times have you been like, I should just give up? The only reason why we don't give up playing disc golf is because we spent too much money on it. There's many times we want to give up, but God says, get up. Many times in our life we want to just give up, throw in the towel. But all God is saying is, get up. I'll show you what to do. Samuel stuck in a spot, but God said, I'll show you how to get out. You ever been stuck in a spot? And God says, I'll show you how to get out. Just follow me. That's all it takes. It's so simple, but wow, is it so hard at times. Verse 4, Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? Samuel replied, yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Oh, what a weird little thing. If I could skip this. It's not really part of the message, but I know if I skip it, one of you are going to come up to me and ask me, why were these people scared of Samuel? Well, let me just tell you, Samuel's a judge. He doesn't always come with good news. They're hoping Samuel's coming with good news, not bad news. Luckily, Samuel says, no, I come in peace. I'm sure they're like, whew, that was a load off our chest. But here's the most important part. This is why these verses are so important. Listen to it closely. At the very beginning, what does it say? Samuel did what the Lord said. Samuel did what the Lord said. He went. When God said, get up, Samuel went. Why did Samuel go? Because he knew who God was. Many times I think we do not get up when God says get up because we forget who God is. We forget that He knows all things. We forget that He is all powerful, that He loves us, that He's gracious to us, that He's merciful to us. God's not going to tell you to get up to lead you to disaster. God's telling you to get up for the kingdom of God. Amen, church? Amen. The people are scared, but wow, are they relieved. And let me just remind you, this sacrifice isn't a sin sacrifice. We've talked about those. This was a fellowship offering, a peace offering. They're going to sacrifice part of it, then they're going to have a big feast. They're going to eat it. They're going to eat it with all the people. Verse 6. It says, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen, church. the Lord looks at the heart. Oh, wow, what an encouragement and what a promise to us. Because listen to me, I don't know if many of you know, but if the Lord looked at an appearance, I probably would not be up here. I'm not very tall. My wife is probably the only one that thinks I'm halfway handsome. I wouldn't be chosen as the king. I'm not rich. Many of you aren't rich. Sorry, not chosen as the king. You're not a warrior, strong. Not chosen as the king. See, Samuel falls in the same mistake, really, he did in the beginning when he picked Saul. Wow, that looks like the king. But let me remind you what God says. There in verse 3, it says, "You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Wow, is it so important to know that God looks at the heart. Samuel looked at the outside, and listen to me, we often look at the outside in our life. Those of you who maybe have been a part of interviews and things, do we not often look on the outside? Maybe when you're looking for a significant other, a wife, a husband, do we not often look on the outside? We often look on the outside so often. And listen to me, let me remind you with this. Outside appearance means nothing to God. And to be a godly leader, appearance has nothing to do with it. It all has to do with the heart. Your heart needs to be right to be a good godly leader. I'm not talking about just the pastor. I'm talking about you as just, if you just come to church on Sunday and Wednesday, you want to be a good godly leader of your home. You want to be a good godly leader at work or wherever you are in your life. Listen to me. You have to deal with your heart way before your looks. Your looks mean nothing to God. Oh, amen, church. Amen. Looks mean nothing to God, and we often fall into the trap of looking on appearance. We have to be like God that looks at the heart. But here's the stumbling block, church. I cannot see the heart of Jeremy. I cannot see the heart of Eddie. I can't do it. I'm not God. I can't do it. So here's the important piece that Samuel is going to find out and that we all need to find out. You have to be talking with God. You want to make decisions in your life and you're not praying, you're probably going to wind up making the wrong decision. You can't see the heart. You can't see the heart of a man. You can't see the heart of a woman. But there's one who can, and his name is God. His name is Jesus Christ. You want to know the heart of a person? Talk to the one who can see it. This is what made David such a good king. He talked to God. I think we've often failed, church. Can we be honest with ourselves? I'm not telling us to raise our hands. Be honest with ourselves. Have we made decisions in life without consulting the one who sees the heart? I've done it. And every one of those decisions, most of the time, didn't pan out the way I thought it would. Didn't pan out the way I thought it should. This is how we think, need to think. Maybe when churches very often, how do they pick a pastor? I hope they pick it because of his heart. But some churches also fall into this trap of picking a pastor based on his looks, based on the way that he looks, not on his heart. You want a good godly leader? Ask God to show you who the good godly leader is. Amen, church? Amen. We got to think like this. Verse 8. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Sama pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." Listen to me, just a side piece here. These aren't bad guys because God didn't pick them. I've overlooked this little piece here. These aren't bad guys because God didn't pick them. They just weren't God's choice. Some of you are upset at God because he didn't pick you to do it. And forgetting what God actually chose you for. We often become jealous and envious of somebody else, not really realizing how precious it is that God would even use you to clean the church. Amen? You know how precious it is to get to work in the nursery? You know how precious it is to do anything in the kingdom of God? Listen to me, jealousy and envy filter through the church. For a lot because of this. His brothers, who knows? I don't really know the whole story. We don't know the whole story. Maybe his brothers were jealous of David here later on. But listen to me. We cannot be jealous in the church. We ought to rejoice with our brothers and sisters when God chooses them to do something. When somebody here says, I think God wants me to serve at the meal ministry, we ought to rejoice because God is using them. If God is choosing someone to volunteer at the Women's Life House, we ought to rejoice that God is using them for the kingdom of God. We ought to celebrate as one body, the body of Jesus Christ, because God is using us for the kingdom of God. Amen, church? God is using us to give Him glory and honor in this church in Huntington. We ought to praise God that God would even use us. Do not become jealous because God didn't call you to something you thought you wanted, but rather rejoice that God would choose any human to do anything for God. Because let me remind you of something, church. God has no reason really to choose any of us. We're fallen. We're not good. But wow, is the character of God the one that sustains me to give me the ability to even serve God. Wow, I hope you're excited to even be able to serve here at New Life Fellowship. In whatever capacity you serve. Stop thinking you got to be the leader of this or the leader of that or you got to be the one to run this. Why don't you start rejoicing because God has put you where He's put you? Amen, church? Amen. Verse 11. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered. He is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him, and he had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. Listen to me. God will choose the unlikely choice. Amen, church? If there's one thing, listen to me closely. If there's one thing this church ought to know, God will choose the unlikely choice. Listen to me. This church is the unlikely church to run the ministries. Amen? This church is the unlikely choice, but God chose us to do something so wonderful as doing the ministries. And listen to me, why are the ministries so wonderful? Because they've been given by God. God chose us to run them. God chose us to serve the broken people in Huntington. Rejoice that you get to be able to do that. Praise the Lord that you get to be able to do that. And praise the Lord, you are the unlikely choice to get to do that. Amen, church. David wasn't even in the house. David wasn't even in the house. He wasn't on Jesse's mind. He wasn't on Samuel's mind. He wasn't even in the house. But God knew who was the one in the shepherd field. God knew who was in the shepherd field tending the flock. And Samuel knew. He said, yeah, I love this part. I think it's kind of funny. Samuel says to Jesse, are these all the sons you have? He's already seen like eight of them. He's like, well, these aren't it. There's got to be another. There was. There was another, and his name was David. Maybe you don't know this story, but this story is very important to David's life. It's when he's anointed. It says, then the Lord says, rise and anoint. This is the one. David is just a lowly shepherd. His father's like, there's no way that David can be. He's just small. David's probably 10 to 15 years old here. He's just a young guy. He was a shepherd. It was a lowly job, a job for a servant. If you were rich, you had a servant be the shepherd. You had a servant tend to the sheep. Obviously, David's family's not very rich here, so David's the one who's doing this. And listen to me, this was probably the most crucial moment for David. This is where God had been teaching him how to lead people. This is so important. Why did I read Psalm 23? Because listen to me, this is what probably made David say all those wonderful things. Because David was a shepherd, he knew who the great shepherd is. Because David was a shepherd, he knew who the good shepherd was. And listen to me, David understood the power and the might of the Good Shepherd and how lowly and awesome of a job it was just to be chosen by God. He brought him in. David was the guy. God's not picking you for whatever he's called you because you got a lot of knowledge. God's not picking you because you think you're equipped enough. God's not picking you because you think you look good enough. God's not picking you for this or that. God's picking you because he's chosen you. Simple as that. When we start thinking we're entitled to something or we deserve something, that's when we fall in the trap of pride. And God will not use a proud person. David was humble, and listen to me, being a shepherd made David a great leader. We think, wow, this is a horrible job, is the job on the lowest podium. But listen to me, it was that job that made David such a great leader in his life. And listen to me, it's so wonderful to even know that God will often use the things that the world despises for his glory. The world hates it. God will use it for his glory. You think you're just working some job at Kroger? You think you're just working some job at a gas station? You think you're just working a job at Fort Wayne Metals or wherever you work? Listen to me. God can use that job for his glory. All you got to do is get up when God says move. All you have to do is get up when God says to go. Listen to me, God wants to use you right where you're at because he's using those moments to train you, to equip you, to do the things he has for you in the future. Amen, church? This is what he's doing with David. And listen to me, I want you to write these five qualities down. You want to be a good godly leader in your life. I'm not talking about you have to have some position at the church, but you want to be a good godly leader in your homes, at work, wherever. Write these qualities down. They're qualities that David possessed. Humble. Number one, humble. You want to be a good godly leader? You've got to be humble. David knew who God was. He's the one who said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." He knew where he stood before God. He did not consider himself more greater than anyone. He did not consider him to be the greatest king of all time. Rather, he understood that God chose him. He was humble. And listen to me, number two, he was caring. You want to be a good godly leader, stop being so hard on people. You want to be a good godly leader, start caring for the brokenhearted. You want to be a good godly leader, care for the flock. Whatever your flock looks like, care for it. Love it. Nurture it. What does that psalm so graciously leaves me beside quiet waters? Care for your flock. Number three, David was strong. I'm not talking about when he was, but I'm not talking about all the muscle. That's not what I'm talking about. That you got to keep lifting weights. You got to keep going to the gym until you get that strength. I'm not doing so good. I keep my numbers are going the opposite way. I'm hoping that's the storm before the calm type thing. I'm going up for this big dive down, but I don't know if that's going to happen. My wife says quit eating midnight snacks, but I don't know if I can do that. You got to be strong. Strong of the mind. Strong in truth. You want to be a good godly leader? Do not compromise truth. Be strong, stand firm in the faith, stand strong in the Lord. Ask him for strength in your life. Listen to me, David fought wolves, lions, bears, all those types of things to protect the flock. You got to be strong, you got to stand firm. And number four, you're hardworking. A good godly leader is hardworking. They're not lazy. You want to be a good godly leader, you got to get up. You got to move. You got to work hard. Wherever God's called you, you got to work hard. You want to know what one of the hardest jobs in the Old Testament was? It was being a shepherd. Being a shepherd was pretty hard. You had a lot of sheep you had to rally in. It was a hard work. You had to feed them. You had to do all these things. You had to nurture them. All these things. In and out. In and out. In and out. It took hard work. God calls us to work hard. And number five, this is the most important. To be a good godly leader, you have to be sacrificial. This is one of the toughest ones. You have to be willing to lay down your life for your flock. This is what made David such a good leader. Why God chose him is because David was sacrificial. He would lay down his life for the flock. He would lay down his life for whatever God called him to do. And listen to me, there is no good shepherd like Jesus Christ. The most humble, the most caring, the most strong, the most hardworking, and the most sacrificial that we'll ever know is Jesus Christ. Listen to me, you can cling to your good shepherd. You can cling to your great shepherd because he is the one that is humble. He's the one that's caring. He's the one that's strong. He's the one that's hardworking. And he's the one that's sacrificial. Wow, did he love you so much that while you were sinners, he died for you. Amen, church. He's so sacrificial. He wanted you to bring you to the good shepherd. He wanted to bring you to God. He wanted to bring you to the one that can provide for you. He wanted to bring you to the one that could sustain your life. That's how good of a shepherd Jesus Christ is. He laid down his life for you and I. Oh, wow, what a good shepherd he is. What a great shepherd he is. If you want someone to lead your life, trust Jesus Christ. He's the good shepherd. He's the awesome shepherd. It was this moment in his life that led David to say, he is my shepherd. I lack nothing. When you follow the good shepherd, when you follow God, you will lack nothing. Without God, you lack a lot of things. But with God, you lack nothing. Oh, wow, what a wonderful promise. Amen, church. What a wonderful promise it is. Verse 13, it says, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. That's Samuel's home. And listen to me, God will equip those who go after his heart. God will equip those who run after his heart. God will equip those who are after his heart. And how does God equip us? He equips us with the Holy Spirit. The Lord did it a little differently back then. Oh, praise the Lord for Jesus Christ, that if you believe in him, you receive the Holy Spirit. But God gave his Spirit to the people in the Old Testament. Give one this, one that. You know, he would go to and fro. But wow, does it stay with us to help us in our life. That God equips us with the Holy Spirit. I don't think we realize how awesome that is. Why was David able to be a good shepherd? Why was David able to be a good godly leader to lead a whole rebellious nation of Israel? It's because he had the Holy Spirit in his life. He had God in his life. You want to be a good godly leader? Trust in the Holy Spirit. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit in your life. Trust the Holy Spirit in your life. You cannot be a good godly leader without the Holy Spirit in your life. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. In the day of Pentecost, anyone who believed, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon them. How blessed are we, church? You have the ability to be a good godly leader in your life because of the Holy Spirit. It's him who equips you. It's him who leads you down the path you need to go. It is him that will show you where to go. You don't know where to go? Trust the Holy Spirit. We got to stop trusting ourselves. We got to have faith in God. Listen to me, church. I'll say it again. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. When he chose you, he didn't make a mistake. God's asking you to do something for his glory and his honor. God's not making a mistake. Be joyful that God chose you to do whatever God chose you to do. It's not about climbing the ladder. It's not about trying to get all the money that you can get. It's not about any worldly possession you can possibly think of. It's about doing the will of God. You want to do the will of God, trust in the Holy Spirit. Be joyful that God chose you. Be glad that God chose you to do something. Again, I say, I think God chooses everybody to do something in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord for spiritual gifts. That's one thing right there. God's given you a spiritual gift to use in the kingdom of God. You need to take a step of faith. Maybe you're afraid of the thing that God's called you to do. You need to take a step of faith, knowing that God will show you what to do. Where do you think the church might be? Think about it for a minute. If we all did what God wanted us to do, the church would look a lot different. Well, we get caught up in fear. We get caught up in excuses, saying, God, I'm not ready. God, I'm not willing. And we wonder why the church looks sometimes the way it does. The church does a lot of amazing things. Don't get me wrong. It's the bride of Christ. It does amazing things. But there's times where the church needs to start doing what God calls it to do. You know, blessings rain down when you do what God wants you to do. You do not get blessings any way else other than doing what God wants you to do. You want joy and peace in your life? Start doing what God wants you to do. Again, I'll say life's not so easy, but it becomes easier when you do what God wants you to do. Amen, church? Amen. That's something I realized when I accepted the call to preach. There's one thing that Jimmy said to me when I was struggling with this idea of God calling me to preach. Because I had all those same things you probably thought for whatever God's called you to. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. I'm afraid to talk in public. I'm afraid of what they might think. But Jimmy said something, until I surrender to the call, I'll always feel miserable. And listen to me, some of us are feeling miserable because we haven't surrendered to whatever God has called us to. The Lord is gracious, He's compassionate, and He abounds in patience. But let me remind you one more time, church. God might just move on to somebody else. God's not going to keep allowing you to say no to His will over and over and over again. Praise the Lord for His patience and His grace and His mercy in our life. But it's time to get up. Amen, church? It's time to get up. Let's stand, church.